Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
They have lead outside the zone. To Şengün up top. Buddy Hield, who didn't score last game. Şengün pass into Thompson. Ripped away by Draymond Green. Just took it away. A steal. Curry to midcourt. Right sideline. Hield lets it fly. It's up and good again. He hit another one. Buddy Hield, it's all white light for him right now. He's got a 19-point half. And the Warriors lead 45-31.
Dub Nation. It's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Buddy freaking Hield.
Buddy!
I mean, honestly, you got to be kidding me.
Right?
You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me that this is the way the story goes.
Well, and the thing about it is when he hits the one at the end of the first quarter from, what, like 40 or 45 or whatever.
Three paces inside half court.
Right. At that point, it's like, okay. Now do you believe? Yeah. It's my Bobby Fitz
from years ago. It only put him up by four.
Right.
I guess my answer, when you say now do you believe, I would say believe in what?
Believe that, like, they can win this game because...
I remember exactly what I said when they did that. Because, again, we're doing the show, and I found it to be the most distracting and just, it's just the most awful thing ever.
Oh, you think? Try watching it with a 2-year-old, but go ahead.
Yeah. I've done that. I've been there.
Yeah,
I've done
that.
The Warriors have been winning championships my kids' entire lives.
Since Jude was like
Seriously,
one, right?
I mean, even before he was born. So, anyway.
That's so nice.
Anyway. Yeah, when was their first one? Was it 14?
15.
15.
Yep.
Okay, Jude was one. He was one. So yes, his whole life they've been winning this thing. So yeah, plenty of distractions. When Buddy hit that one, I said to Ephraim, I go, all I'll say, cause he's like, hey, they're looking good. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
We're not doing they're looking good.
All I'll say is they passed the first test. And the first test in a game 7 or any energetic road game, I feel like, is to weather the storm. Weather the opening quarter storm, which they could not do in game 5. They couldn't do it. The Rockets came out and hit everything, and the ball game was over at the end of one quarter. So when he hit that shot and they finished the first quarter up 4, I'm like, okay, check mark, you weathered the storm. But now you got to go play better than the other team the rest of the way, and they most certainly did. They most certainly did.
So, yeah. And one thing I said, I did a little radio interview yesterday out of market, and I said that,
thank you.
Honestly, it feels counterintuitive to say it, but I felt like an under game, and the total was 205.5, I felt like a game that was under actually favored the Warriors. I thought that if you got into a game where the Rockets were scoring and scoring great, and Fred VanVleet's going off, and no answer for Şengün, and Jalen Green this, and Dylan Brooks that, and the Warriors are able to match up with almost anybody in that way, but the way the Rockets have been so good defensively, I thought that this game had to be a lower-scoring rock fight game, and it's 2019 in the first quarter, and Buddy hits one from 40, and you're up 4, and it's like, okay, perfect first quarter for the Dubs.
No, I agree with you, largely just because of this. The Warriors are better in the half court offense than the Rockets are.
Right.
And that's the game they want to play. When the Rockets start catching up is when you make turnovers and let them get out running in the open court. If Thompson or Jalen Green is coming at you at full speed and you have a Warrior jersey on, you have no chance. They literally don't have anybody who can stop them from dunking or laying that thing in. And you saw that when they cut it to three, that's what was going on. The game was getting a little fast. And so I thought they did a wonderful job. And this is mainly Steph and Jimmy. They did a wonderful job because those guys get caught up in it sometimes because they want to go also.
Yeah.
They did a wonderful job with the pace in the third quarter when the Rockets, and you gave Steve Kerr credit for some good timeouts, call timeout, slow the game down. And they did it, I thought, very intuitively in this game, and it worked. It worked really well because the Rockets in the half court, whew, they struggled. They really struggled, and the Warriors played some great half-court defense. We're live in the Laughing Monk studios. Laughing Monk is righteously brewed in San Francisco, and we love having Laughing Monk along for the ride. And also, Boxer and Gerson for the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. 925 said, "Hey, guys, good afternoon. I think it's a bit of a stretch to say that Buddy Hield had a great series against the Rockets." I don't know. Did I use the word great? All in all, when I look at the series, I thought Buddy did what you would ask Buddy to do. I'm not asking Buddy to go out there and score double digits seven times and hit three or four or five threes in every game.
No, you said he was great two or three times.
Yeah, and if you can do that, like 40% of the games, if you can be that guy and knock down multiple threes for the team, I'm going to take that from Buddy Hield. That's all this team needs from him.
Absolutely, and he was great in game three. And Steph had 36, and you won. And he was their second-leading scorer in that game. You didn't have Jimmy. GP2 was also great. And you grinded out a win at home over Houston. And then he was great again in game four. And that's also a game, by the way, that you won. So if Buddy is great in those games, and if you want to say that in the other four games he was bad, okay. He had 2-5-4-0 in those games. In game six, you mentioned it, everyone was pretty much bad. And he was 0-4 and 0-4 from three, and you lose. It doesn't mean that if Buddy's good, you win. But if Buddy's good and he's your number three or number four scorer, you have a great chance to win.
Steve brought it up to us when we brought up the Moody starting lineup thing. He goes, "I think isn't it when Buddy's Hield scores north of 15 points? They don't lose. They flat out barely ever lose.
Yep.
In that scenario. So." Yeah, he's not an indicator, but it's close. It's pretty close. Let's go to Matt in San Jose. Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling. What's up?
What's up, fellas? First, I just want to say the nicknames that have come from today's show are crazy. Because Jonathan, that call earlier, he said, "Game 7, hey, buddy!" Then we got the Turkish Tantrum and Steph Currency because it shot his money. We got some nicknames up in here today, boys.
Even though some of them were by accident. But, yes, we love it.
Steph Currency is definitely a good one. But
thank you.
The Game 7 story is crazy, man. My off-season job is DoorDash, and I was dashing for like the 2 hours before tip-off. I stopped to watch the first 3.5 quarters. By the 6-minute mark, you know, it's Sunday. Let the church say amen, Thompson. He's having a show, and I started to get a little nervous. I clocked back into DoorDash, and all of a sudden, they go on a run. I'm standing in Panda Express at the plant in San Jose, and they're going on this run, and I'm trying to avoid screaming. I walk outside, and Buddy hits the three from the corner and does the ride the horse, and I screamed and jumped. I almost dropped Stephanie's orange chicken and chow mein. And then I'm standing there like, you know what? That was an elevation sensation. Yes, and you know what? I'll donate a dollar, Mark.
Donate the dollar. Winner, winner, orange chicken dinner. That's exactly what you should have yelled in that parking lot, Matt.
Okay. I was yelling, Warriors. And you know, I'm looking around, and it's Cinco de Mayo, so there's a lot of people driving through. Mexican flags are everywhere. And people are listening to the game on the radio, so the voice of Tim Roy is like in every other car that's driving by, and people are screaming and hollering, and the flags are waving, and it was just an absolute show. at the plant of all places.
I love it. Nice. Absolutely love it. Matt, thank you very much.
And of course, it was orange chicken. Like, can you go into Panda Express and not get orange chicken?
You can order whatever you want as long as you also get orange chicken.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have to get it. You have to get that.
I mean, that's mandatory.
I like they got a chicken and mushroom dish in there.
Okay.
That's a different chicken. It's a very, very different experience. I like it.
Right.
But you got to get the orange chicken with it.
You do.
Or else you're just doing it wrong.
Yeah, it's Willard and Dips here talking about the Panda.
Panda, yeah. Panda.
Yeah.
Panda. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
The whole thing was it was a wonderful night.
No, and I love the way you're like laying it out there, like, where were you and what was your thing? And he's out there door dashing and he's working and he goes into Panda and he's, you know, screaming, trying to pick up Stephanie's orange chicken.
My entire night was a fork in the eye. I'm like, and I don't want anybody's sympathy. That's not what I'm saying. But like, dude, all I want in a game like that, and for me, Game 7 is kind of like I'm going to turn into a little bit of a
nutcase.
And a recluse. I don't want people around because if it doesn't go well, you all say the wrong thing. It doesn't matter who you are. If it's not going well, you're saying the wrong thing. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that Pods sucks. And we never liked him anyway.
Dude.
Like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about the refs. I don't want to hear about how Steve Kerr better.
Those rotations.
Be accountable. I don't want to talk to you. Not if it's not going well. And so I was forced to be a recluse.
Yep. Because you're doing live radio.
I'm doing live radio. But I'm sitting here, no joke. We're in the second half of this game, and I'm having a conversation with a 300-pound ex-offensive lineman about Malik Nabers.
Right.
I'm like, can you be more distracted right now?
Totally disconnected.
Luckily, I can say it to him. He knows. He's a huge Laker fan.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Warrior fan, and I'll joke with him. I'll just be like, dude, just talk for 6 minutes.
Right.
I'm like, I need a moment. You know what I mean? But luckily, the Warriors made that as stress-free as a Game 7 can be.
Late. Fourth quarter, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know,
They played well throughout.
We're watching it as a family, and I had to banish my 2.5-year-old into the office because she refused to lock in. And I get it. And she, you know, she was there with me for the third quarter, and then it got a little dicey, and, you know, she's on my lap, and I'm starting to, you know, maybe squeeze her a little bit, and it's like, you know, Daddy, read a book. Honey, we're not reading a book. Daddy's not going to read a book, okay?
Please tell me that when you tell her to lock in, she says, yawk in.
Totally.
I am yawked in.
Mila, you need to lock in. I am yawked in. Honey, you're not yawked in.
You're not.
Okay?
You're not.
It's down to three. All right. Get in the office. You're watching Masha. Watch Masha. Watch Coco Melon Yane.
Oh, my God.
Now she wants to watch Coco Melon Yane.
I would have paid $100 an hour for a babysitter to take her somewhere.
Oh, in the office?
No, out of the house.
She was fine.
Go somewhere.
I put on Coco Melon Yane, and she was good.
Nobody knows what that
is. It's Coco Melon Lane, her L's or Y's. And what's
nobody knows what it is even when you pronounce it correctly.
If you have a kid under four, you are fully aware of Coco Melon Lane. It's a great day on Coco Melon Lane.
For the
love
of God.
It was
so
good
nice to see you. You and me.
All right.
We're family.
All right. We got Scott. We got GP. I don't know if it's GP2. Maybe it's GP3. Kenny G, I don't think it's that Kenny G, SF Bay drummer.
Be a lot cooler if it was.
Roy, everybody, here we go. We're coming to you. Stay right where you are. We're brought to you by Life Source Water System. It's a game celebration sensation on Willard and Dibs.
Cha-ching!
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Curry comes free, gets a little daylight, fires and hits a triple. That's his first three of the game. It's 51-37 Warriors. Took that long for Curry to score.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
No, you take it away, Chef. It's not. I love what you said. If Steph doesn't have a ton of points, that does not automatically mean it's a bad game.
Right.
You want to know what I would love in 2025. Hard stop. Let's get rid of it forever. Let blank cook.
Oh boy, let him cook.
Can we stop, please? That's not basketball.
It's not anything.
That's not basketball.
Steph Curry was 1 of 7 in the first half. He had 3 points.
Right.
He had 6 rebounds.
Right.
He had 5 assists. He was a plus 16.
How many turnovers did he have?
In the first half?
Yeah.
He had 1.
Thank you. That
they had 3, Mark.
That is then we're playing good basketball.
Can we let Steph be the sous chef? Does he have to be the main chef all the time?
What great
let Steph chop veggies.
What great players do is they read the court. Like, if we haven't learned this by watching Jimmy Butler play, I don't know who else is going to teach it to us. That's what great players do. It's actually what I've appreciated most about LeBron when everybody wanted him in his heyday to take every shot at the end, and there are times where he would pass. By the way, Steve Kerr's most famous moment as a basketball player came when Michael Jordan did what? He passed. He passed in a huge moment.
He was afraid to take the shot.
Okay.
Just call him out.
You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys are brilliant at that. And I'm not saying that Steph was hot with his shot. He was not. But Houston's going to defend him in a certain way. They did. They often did it very, very well. And if you've got somebody else who is literally in the zone, and they did last night, feed him. Feed that man his ball. Okay? And that's what they did. And so this whole idea of like, well, it's game 7 as a star player, then you cook. No. Go play the game of basketball really, really well. Yes, organically, at times, they're going to cook because they're great players. They're great players. But this whole idea of let blank cook, no, that's crappy basketball.
Yeah, and that's what Steiny was saying earlier about like, Jimmy and Steph need to come out and they need to be aggressive. They need to come out. They need to take the game by the scruff of the neck. And the first quarter, Jimmy was 1 for 2.
Right.
He had 4 points. Steph was 0 for 4. He had no points.
I thought they were both great last night.
When you left the first quarter with a lead, because like you're saying, Buddy had 8 and Draymond had 8. So did Steph and Jimmy need to cook? No, they didn't need to cook. They were doing dishes and like bussing tables.
Well,
and Draymond and Buddy were doing the cooking.
And if you need them to cook, cook in the fourth quarter, y'all.
And he cooked in the fourth.
First quarter?
Yep.
The hell does that get you? It doesn't get you anywhere. It just gets you to the second quarter.
Well, it gets you wherever it gets you if it's your time to cook. And in the fourth quarter, Steph had 14 on 5 of 6. Jimmy had 6, and he was 2 of 3, and Jimmy was very even most of the game. But
Jimmy was good.
Steph got to the fourth quarter, and the reason why Steph was able to cook is because Buddy Hield got Houston out of their zone. They couldn't play zone anymore because Buddy was killing them.
Yep.
So they had to go man-to-man, and then Steph Curry and Draymond could run their cute little Buddy, pun intended, pick and roll. I'll screen for you, and you run around, and you give it to me, and I'll give it back to you, and you run around, and you shoot. It'll be fun. And Buddy's the one who got them out of the zone to make that work again.
They were clean. They were. That's all I ever hoped for with Warrior basketball. Just be clean. Be as clean as possible.
They only had one game in the regular year where they had 7 turnovers or fewer.
Wow.
One game.
Wow.
Yep.
Which game was it?
Let me look. I got so many windows open.
But I know you do.
I was looking at all their games, and they had one game. They won the game, obviously.
Yeah, I would think.
But it was a game early in the year. They had 7 turnovers.
Tremendous. Just a tremendous performance in a game 7. Yeah, Grandy, what's up?
I was just going to say on the topic of Steph, 22 points. No one's going to lose their mind over Steph scoring 22, but 14 in the fourth, and he played 45 and a half minutes at age 37. Got better the longer that he played. Who does that at age 37?
Nobody, or maybe LeBron. Like, you know what I mean? And I was all ready for what, by the way, this isn't what we would say because it's just different. We're here and we're the flagship station of this team. And so every market is more kind of tapped into their team and their city and all that than the national. But I promise you, if the Warriors lose that game last night, you want to know what the Stephen A. world would be saying today? I mean, both the Lakers and Warriors went into their series. I know the Warriors were the 7 seed, but both went in as heavy favorites in their series. The Lakers only won one game. And if the Warriors also gaffed a 3-1 lead, we're going to go right back to the, see, they are too old. We got fooled into thinking that they weren't too old, but they are. And so it's wonderful at age 40 and 37 that you can still go out there and have moments. But the idea of one of them actually making noise and contending in the playoffs is officially over with this loss. And then it didn't happen. And the Warriors are in the final eight. And they got a game tomorrow night in Minneapolis.
And then you could ask, who's the new face of the franchise? Who's the new face of the league? Because LeBron and Steph are done, and KD couldn't even make it in the playoffs. And so, you know, who is it now?
It's Ant, but he doesn't want the role.
Well, I mean, he would like the role, but you need to get the ring to get the role.
Yes, you do.
And you also have to, like, stop getting $50,000 fines to get the role. Like, I think Ja would want the role, but, you know, Ja's out there pulling air guns on people, and he's also not advancing.
Yeah. So round two is already underway. The Pacers had a wonderful effort before the Warrior game last night.
Yep.
They're up 1-0. And then those other two series have a double dip tonight. Knicks and Celtics are getting started here in just over a half hour. And then the Nuggets and the Thunder later on tonight. That one's going to be fascinating. I don't think the Nuggets are going to win the series, but I didn't think that they were going to win the last series. But I think they'll give the Thunder, you know, some pause. I don't think there'll be a sweep by any stretch. The Nuggets are probably too good for that, but it'll be interesting to get some eyes on these series that get started here shortly.
Thunder minus 820 in the series.
To win the series.
Bet 820 to win 100. The Nuggets are plus 570. And if you look at the over-under on total games in the series, it's 5.5. So, and the under, by the way, is heavily favored. So
really?
Yeah. The odds are that it would be 5 games or fewer.
Oh, I think I'll take the over on that.
Over 5.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the Nuggets can get 2 games.
Yeah, you do get odds on that.
Yeah.
And the other one would
Thank you for letting me know. I think I'm going to go place that wager.
Boston is minus 900 against New York. And New York is plus 610. And the over-under is also 5.5.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch that one.
Okay.
I want to get eyeballs on that one first. That was an interesting. The Knicks-Pistons series was interesting.
Yeah.
And I thought Boston was sleepy at times against Orlando, but it was okay because it was Orlando.
Right.
Like some of these teams, Oklahoma City, Boston, Cleveland to a degree, I'm like, you got nothing out of the first round because it was just like, whatever. Like you're playing a team that could not compete. It all changes now. Like everybody's good now with these eight teams. Yeah, what's up? What's up, Grandy? Oh, you gave me a point.
He pulled it down. I thought that he was raring to go.
Okay. 888-957-9570. Let's hear from you. How about Kenny G in Mountain View? Hey, Kenny, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, man.
Just want to say right off, yeah, appreciate it. You guys are very entertaining and informative. Shangoon, I don't like the way he runs. He runs like a guy coasting into the end of a 5K or something. It's just weird. But I want to tell you what happened Friday night.
Yes.
I'm with my son. He's 11, just turned 11. And we're watching the game. It's bad. It's not good. Normally on Friday nights, he and his friends play Roblox. So I told him, I was like, why don't you just go see if your friends are online? This game's over. We're not going to win. It's bad. And he goes, well, it's not over till it's over. And then I'm having to explain to him time frames and, you know, what would need to happen for us to even get in striking distance. I was like, no. And he goes, well, what's next? And I was like, well, now we have to go to Houston, and we have to play them in Houston. It's not good, man. It's bad, and the deck is stacked against us. Now, at some point, I don't know if you guys have kids or not, but
I literally have an 11-year-old, Kenny.
I got 3 kids and a bunch of problems.
Okay, so you're going to understand exactly. You're going to understand what I'm about to say.
Okay.
They go from being tiny idiots to, like, thoughtful, semi-thoughtful people, and he's heard me say this. But he didn't know he was quoting Rudy Tomjanovich. And my kid looks at me and goes, never underestimate the heart of a champion.
Yeah!
And I almost lost it.
Oh, my gosh. Kenny, what's your kid's name?
Yep. Leon.
Leon. I think I want to watch a game with Leon. Holy smokes. That's big. And, Kenny, thank you very, very, very much. Appreciate the call. I want to shout this out. It's almost become our thing, so I didn't feel bad about it. But the kids are all locked in on this stuff, man. They are locked in. And my 16-year-old daughter, Ella, she says after we get home on Friday night and everybody's downtrodden and all crap and my God, all of a sudden it's like we're facing the end of the season. Mm. Like, snap of a finger, you're facing the end of the season and you're an underdog. And she's like, well, you know, gosh, that game stunk. And I'm like, it totally did. And they're in trouble. They're in trouble. It's the same thing I texted you.
Yep.
They're in trouble. She's like, they can win on Sunday. I'm like, and you know exactly what I said. They're allowed to, but I don't think they're going to. I really don't. Like, they have set themselves up now for a very, very difficult. And she claps back. She does not like that.
No.
She does not want to hear dad with the I can't, because I don't have a whole lot of we can't in me anyway. So when they see it, they're like, dad, what the hell is that all about? So she jumped, dad, they can win this game. So last night, not only do we get to celebrate the win, but I get a healthy bucket of I told you so.
Nice.
Because this has become her thing. She was the one at halftime. I told you this story.
Oh, I love the story.
Niners are down 24-7 against the Detroit Lions. NFC title game at halftime. And she was like at a friend's house or something, and I went to pick her up. She hops in the car. She's a huge Niner fan. And I'm like, well, we better get ready to just start like acknowledging the idea that the Niners are not going to be in the Super Bowl this year. And she goes, no, they can come back. And then you all know exactly what happened. So now it's almost our thing. I'm going to purposefully be looking for things where I can naysay Bay Area sports and tell her, yeah, we got no shot, and let her drum it up, because we've had some Houdini acts by these teams in the last few years.
So go home tomorrow and just tell her, you know what, honey?
Yeah,
T-Wolves in six. I hate to break it to you, but
Wolves in four.
Totally.
I mean, come on.
And she will immediately clap back.
Yeah, we're exhausted. We're not beating this team. Yeah. Come on.
And before we even get to Wolves in whatever or Warriors in whatever, I'm still in the same space as you are of, like, yesterday was unbelievable. And I had the stat earlier that 9 of the last 14 road teams have won Game 7. So it's not like it's been that much of an anomaly, but Bobby Fitz on the broadcast, and I was watching Fitz and Kalani last night, and he said that home teams win 74% of Game 7s, but I was kind of holding on to the reality that 9 of the last 14 on the road have gotten it done.
Yep, and I think I'm trying to remember Steph Curry's career and Game 7s, because I can remember let's see. Obviously, there was the Game 7 loss to the Cavs at home. There was the Game 7 win at home against Oklahoma City just before that. But memory serves, there were three road Game 7 victories. Is that right? Yet last night, you had the first time in Houston when James Harden and company put up 1,000 missed threes.
Right.
That was a Game 7. And then you had Sacramento a couple of years ago. Is that three road Game 7 victories for Steph Curry?
I'm looking
now
at the log right now, and the first one was on the road at the Clippers. They lost
in
2014.
Right, they did not.
I was with Steinies in Dana's backyard for that one.
That was the year before the dynasty began.
Right, and then OKC at home, Game 7 win. Cleveland at home, Game 7 loss. And then Houston on the road, Game 7 win.
Right.
And then...
does it jump to Sacramento?
It jumps to, I think, Sacramento.
Yeah,
you're right.
There it is.
Yeah, so he's Boston only, was six. And
he's only played in a Game 7
five times. Yep.
And he's 4-1 with three of them being on the road. My God.
3-2 because he lost to the Cavs and the Clippers.
Well, no. I mean, yes. Okay, right. I meant after, sorry, once the title began.
Gotcha,
but yeah, no, that's fair. So no, then four and two.
Mm-hmm.
4-2 in Game 7s in his career, and three of them are on the road. Dog, that's some serious action right
there. No doubt.
Let's go to Scott in Vallejo again. We're taking your calls on what's your Game 7 story, and when you look back at this series as a whole, what's your takeaway? What now that you've had a night of sleep and, okay, we can all take a deep breath, what's your takeaway from this one? Scott in Vallejo. Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
What's on? What's going on, Dibs and Willard? How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
So, awesome. You sound like it. I bet you are, especially after that win last night. But hey, I'm glad everybody got a chance to see what Buddy Hield can do, because nobody seemed to know much about him But I can tell you this. I watched him play a lot of college basketball, and he carried his team. And I know that college doesn't always translate to the NBA. But it did last night. So, hey, you all know it. Buddy Hield is a hell of a player. And if he can do this over and over again, you guys are going to like him a lot.
No doubt about it. Look, Scott, for me, yesterday kind of gives him a forever get out of annoyance free card. That like for me, you have a game like that, and I'm willing to overlook a lot of other stuff. And I didn't not, and thanks, Scott, appreciate hearing from you. I didn't not like Buddy Hield, but yeah, like he drives you nuts. He drives you nuts. And maybe I'm lying. I don't know when the next time Buddy drives us crazy in a playoff game, if I will just calmly be like, it's okay. Game seven in Houston. It's okay. Maybe I will be annoyed. I don't know, though. I feel like I'm going to view Buddy Hield differently now going forward.
And I do think that we all viewed Andrew Wiggins differently going forward after he did what he did in the playoffs.
Good point.
And so,
that's a good point.
I mean, forever, Andrew Wiggins will be, in my mind, that guy who played amazing in the NBA Finals. And he might have been the NBA Finals MVP if it wasn't for Steph Curry going absolutely nuclear in the NBA Finals. So he was able to get to a spot where you think differently about him. And, you know, Kevon's a little bit different because he's so beloved and he's, you know, homegrown and all the rest of it. But what he did in that playoff as well is one that, you know, you wouldn't have won without Kevon Looney either.
Agreed. Although, and I think he already was beloved, but he wasn't beloved as much as he became in that that year.
Yep.
So, you know, boy, he showed up again last night, I thought, in huge ways. And there's such a trust factor with him, even when he goes for months without playing any significant minutes.
Right.
But these moments in the playoffs where clearly Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, Steph Curry look to him to go out there and do key things, and he seems to do it. He seems to do it certainly more often than not. Let's go to SF Bay Drummer. Thanks for calling. Drummer, what are you doing?
Hey, fellas, what's going on? I just got my daughter from daycare. It's like storming out here, like raining bad. I guess it's like a decade's worth of Rockets fans' tears out here. But, you know, I'm happy for the win. Like, me and my daughter, we were locked in watching the game together. She kept kind of jumping and moving around because she's a four-year-old. But she said, go Warriors and everything. So I'm teaching her the right way. Even though she was born out here in Houston, she always says, let's go Giants, clap, 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 go Niners. And then she said, go Warriors. So I'm teaching her the right way. But, you know, I think the Warriors, they got the good vibes going. Hopefully the bench can step up and get us some wins and everything like that. But what I believe is, you know, the Warriors, as long as they, you know, pace themselves, they can do whatever they need to do. And then also I heard that the Rockets fans, they need to be CPR trained next season. Due to severe choking hazards that they have out here.
Very good. Nice drummer.
Very good drummer. With the Dibber laugh, too.
I don't want to do that to team. When I feel like that takes something away from your team and what they did when you start calling the other team chokers.
But if you blow a 3-1 lead, I do think that it becomes more of an appropriate thing. I don't think that
Rockets didn't choke. No.
That's where I like the broadside shot that he took. But when you're down 3-1 and you force a game 7 and then you lose to a team that has championship pedigree and a guy who, and let's be fair about Buddy Hield, if you look at his playoff career, this is really his first playoff series.
That's right.
He had a series in Philly where he had 3 games of garbage time. And then one game where they were desperate and he played and they lost. And then now you're in a spot where you're actually going to play.
Yeah, this is his first and most significant, real role in a playoff series. And again, he showed up pretty nicely in my eyes more often than not. So I will tell you this, and then we have an injury report for game one tomorrow night. Granny's going to share it with you in just a second. But one thing I did notice, just the little snarky side in me, this was my favorite thing that I saw yesterday, because Alpi Şengün, after 6 games, was quoted at Rockets shoot-around as saying, I don't think the Warriors have beaten us at all in this series.
Right.
Not once. We beat ourselves. We miss free throws. We make mistakes. and this has nothing to do with the fact that I'm a Warrior fan. You and I have talked about this before. There are certain athletes, certain teams. I never like it when it's all every game is only about them. There's never any credit to the opponent. It's either we played well and we won, or we lost because we played poorly. There has to be something bigger than that. So when Alpi Shangoon said, "I don't think the Warriors have beaten us at all in this series," it was fun to quote tweet that last night and ask, how about now?
Right.
Because there is no question that you guys got outplayed from beginning to end in last night's basketball game.
Well, and he could say that they beat themselves. And, you know, if you want to, like, really make that a part of your narrative, then why don't you name check the players on your team who are the reasons why you lost? Like Jalen Green in game one when he was 3 for 17. So when you talk about how the Warriors didn't beat you, you beat yourself. Well, you're not talking about yourself, Alpi, because you were great game one through game seven. Game seven, you were a little shaky, and you missed some easy little jump hooks, and you didn't get the calls you wanted. But
he had a chance to win game four, and he didn't do it.
He did. But, I mean, in general, he was the best Rocket game one through seven. But if you want to talk about who actually beat themselves, it's Jalen Green, your young star.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal in one game.
He was the only one who I say, disappointing. Disappointing, right? Like Thompson was fantastic.
Yep.
Jabari Smith, smaller role, but played it well.
Yep, I'm waiting for it.
Dylan Brooks got into foul trouble, but played pretty well.
Not in game seven.
He played pretty well.
He was a big old giant NF last night. He was a non-factor.
I agree with that.
He was a non-factor in game seven.
He didn't embarrass himself, though.
No,
what was he from the field?
But I think 3 of 8.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
3 of 9.
3 of 9.
I mean, you're Dylan Brooks. Go out there and make S happen. Like, go out there and do something.
Well, what does that mean? You're Dylan Brooks.
That means you're losing. Go out there and, like, stir it up.
Yeah, but there's 7 dudes on that floor more talented than Dylan Brooks.
Right, but nobody's more ornery than Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, well, there's one guy, but anyway.
I mean, maybe. But
all right, let's go to Grandy for the injury report on game one.
Before I do that, other piece of news from the NBA. Kenny Atkinson of the Cavs, head coach of the year.
Of the year, yeah.
Of course, former Warriors assistant, but that just came down from the NBA. Injury report for tomorrow. Gary Payton II, questionable with the illness that kept him out last night for Minnesota. Rob Dillingham, rookie guard. He's out with an ankle issue. Those are the only two guys on the injury report.
Pretty healthy look. And I got to think, I mean, I know nothing about his illness. I got to think 48 hours later, the GP2's got a good chance to be ready to go and play, I would think.
Yeah, you would guess. But my only concern is who gets it next.
Well, is it the same thing? I mean, when Pods got it, wasn't it? It was food poisoning. That's not contagious.
Well, and then Kuminga got sick, right?
Right. Well, that was a migraine. That's not contagious.
Right. I just wonder.
I mean, unless, like, you know what I mean? I have no idea what the hell is going on.
Yeah, me either. But
anyway. 888-957-9570 is the number. We keep going with your calls. Those of you on hold, stay right where you are. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs.
It's a remix and I'm coming with that bow, bow, bow. Pretty.
Thompson will go in, forces up a left-hand shot. That doesn't go. Loose ball on the deck. Curry comes up with it. Steps over Shangoon. Dribbles it to the front court. Puts on the brakes. Has Buddy Hield wide open. Left corner, 3-ball on the way. He got it! It's a 20-point lead for Golden State, and the lights are starting to go down here in Houston.
Hey, Eric, Buddy here. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
Just dance, I throw them bands and make them dance. Buddy was on the roast this morning, and was a ton of fun, number one.
Nice.
And number two, went into depth about some of the things that now everyone's talking about after a 33-point performance, including this song, which apparently led to the celebration that kind of looked like riding a horse a little bit after one of his three-pointers.
Yeah.
Well, you want to hear what he said? Here's the how the whole thing came together. This is from Buddy Hield this morning on 95.7 The Game.
So me and Tyrese Halliburton, he came in one day, and then it's like a TikTok ran viral, and he's saying it with the bow, bow, bow. And then we just thought every time he shoot a three, it was like a bow, bow, bow. And after that, there's a dance. It was like bam, bam, bam. And then after that, with you just knocking your legs and like just from New Orleans, you know, I just started adding that dance to the to that, and we're just having fun with it. And it never left me. So every time I go out or I around people and or whatever, I just hit the bow, bow, bow dance. Before every pregame, we hit the bow, bow, bow dance. I try to get everybody in the middle. Even the coaches hit it today. Even because Steve hit it last night. Terry Stotts is really good at hitting the bow, bow, bow dance.
Oh, my God.
I think everybody. I haven't let Draymond hit it. Draymond is still shy hitting the bow, bow dance now. But Steph has hit it. Jimmy hasn't hit it yet, but we can get Jimmy to hit it. But like everybody's hit it except Steph. No. Steph has hit it. Except Jimmy, Draymond. And I think JK, we got a lot of shy guys on the team, you know. We got to get them on the show, you know. We got to get them on the show.
Okay. That's fantastic stuff. By the way, my favorite part, other than all the Buddy Hield parts, are when he first sort of reveals what it's about. And if you listen really closely, you can hear Shasky in the background go, oh. play it again. It's about 7 to 10 seconds in.
So me and Tyrese Halliburton, he came in one day, and then it's like a TikTok ran viral, and he's saying it with the bow, bow, bow. And then we just thought, every time he shoot a three, it was like a bow, bow, bow. Oh. And after that.
Oh, I get it now.
Well, I'm with him. I didn't know, like, the reference. I didn't know that it was a thing. I thought that it was just like, you know, like when you see a kid with a horse on a broomstick and you're riding the horse. That's what I thought that was. Yeah. I didn't know that it was a whole TikTok thing.
I did some research into it, and my favorite part now after I've gone back and watched the compilations of this TikTok trend, the dance that Buddy does has nothing to do with the actual TikTok trend.
Oh, of course.
He would do, it was some other dance move, and then in the answer that you just played, he was like, yeah, and then eventually I added the whole horse thing.
Right, I just completely made that different. Up. Right, so here's how it all came together. It was actually just me in my restroom just making it up. That's how it actually came together. But I like this song, too, that was on TikTok. That's essentially what Buddy just said, which is the most Buddy Hield thing I've ever heard in my life. Perfect.
Yeah. And
perfect.
I didn't know he and Tyrese Halliburton were in cahoots with a similar celebration. And so.
Where's Tyrese's dad in all this?
Right.
How's he do?
I don't know.
What's
probably somewhere
wrong
in there.
With that, Lucas? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Thank you. Do you know that he can't go to the games anymore?
Right. Nor should he.
I agree with you. But I was just thinking to myself about this. Like, you're a parent, I'm a parent. If I had a child who ever became an NBA All-Star and I behaved in such a way to where I was not allowed to go to his games anymore, I can't think of anything more embarrassing in my entire life.
Yeah, pretty embarrassing.
That is the most embarrassing thing I've ever heard from a parent. You've got somebody who has achieved that much. Your offspring has achieved that much. And you found a way with a towel. That's it. Armed with a towel, you found a way to exclude yourself from enjoying the fruits of the labor of your son. Wow.
Pretty embarrassing. And even if you go to LeVar Ball, who did a lot of things that were embarrassing before his kids went to the league, he never did something like this where he's no longer allowed in arenas. And just a 5-second quick aside about LeVar Ball, you don't really hear from him anymore.
Well, no, because the job is complete. I never like LeVar's thing was not. I didn't take it at face value. LeVar was just trying to
promote his kids to get to the league, but his kids were good enough to get there without him.
Yeah, yeah, and I think he's been humbled a little bit now too. Didn't he? He just had his foot amputated a short time ago.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, like he had some illness, and anyway,
he had a 17-word interview on Joe Lo and Dibs on this very station.
Oh, good. How'd that go?
It was 8 questions, and it was beyond embarrassing. Like, you know, you go around 3-person show, everyone gets their question, and his answers were, no, maybe, I don't know, I think so. And finally, Lo Neal's like, Lo was getting so mad, like, the disrespect.
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, get him out of here. I went through a whole thing at Fox where they booked him for our show, and I'm like, I don't want to talk to him.
Wow.
Like, and they're like, okay, no problem, then we'll have your co-host do it by himself. I tried to be like, we don't want him on. He's like, they're like, no, we don't want you on, actually.
Ooh, so you sat there?
No, I did it. But I was just like, this is just, we're turning ourselves into his marketing arm. You know what I mean? Like, why? We get it. He's just going to make big, stupid statements, and we're going to help him sell shoes that he's never going to deliver to people. Why are we doing this? And they're like, well, yeah, but it's LeVar Ball, and people will listen. And I'm like, all right, you're right. All right, we'll figure it out. So I tried to challenge him a little bit. I asked him if he thinks, if he buys into that whole, like, is all publicity good publicity? Because I actually don't buy into that. I thought that he kind of fell into that trap. But anyway, let's get back to the phones. 888-957-9570. When you look back at the Rockets series, what's your takeaway? And what's your Game 7 story? We're all having fun hearing what everybody was doing last night because this one was something kind of special. Let's go to Ruben in the haystack. Hey, Ruben, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
We got you.
All right. Last night was a great game. Happy for the team. But as a coach, what I saw in the fourth quarter was a defining moment when the game got really, really close. And a lot of the shots were going to Pajinski and Moody, who were almost bricking for about 6 to 7 possessions. Finally, the Warriors got heed that Buddy Hield was still on the floor, and they finally got him the ball, and it went up to a 20-point lead. What I'm afraid of is, as a coach, if you don't recognize that hot hand and develop plays to go to the hot hand, you could put yourself in a predicament where you could lose the game. Buddy Hield didn't score the second half until the last few minutes of the fourth quarter when he got the hot hand. So Steve Kerr needs to look at that film through a microscope and make sure he doesn't make that mistake again, because Buddy Hield should have 45, 50 points.
Yeah.
Off top.
Okay. Go. So, Ruben, I don't agree with this take at all, because, like, you were not the only one who noticed that Buddy Hield was hot. So did the Houston defense. And they are very, very good on defense. They're very, very good. So that's literally the whole point. It's kind of like what the Warriors did with Jalen Green often in this series. They're going to set up their defense so that the ball gets funneled to who they want to shoot. It's why Draymond is always wide open. Like, they did a good job once they knew Buddy was hot. It's not that easy to just draw something up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the way the Warriors move the ball, you can move Buddy Hill's body too, just like Steph moved. If you look at the film, Buddy Hill was standing frozen. So he really wasn't D-cutting or trying to get open. So if you run a screen for him or some type of off-play where he's moving, he can still get those shots. I think Buddy should have had 43 points last night. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ruben, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, Buddy, I'm not going to compare Buddy to the way Steph moves around the court.
Right.
Nobody in the history of ever does that. And Buddy doesn't either. Like, his role is to find an open space and be there to knock down an open shot. Again, you can see it how you see it. I want to see it as giving the Houston Rockets a little bit of credit on defense, that they realized that Buddy had the hot hand, and so they guarded him very closely. Does anybody notice the way the Warriors guarded Fred VanVleet last night? Very, very different than the way they were guarding Fred VanVleet earlier in the series, because they acknowledged finally, dude is on a heater, and we've got to stop him. So they were very, very much in his face, and VanVleet, who's been brilliant, brilliant from three-point range, was only able to get up 6 attempts. In fact, as a squad, and this might be one of the craziest things I've seen in an NBA game recently, the Rockets were only able to attempt 18 threes.
Yep.
And that's not by choice. In fact, they lamented it after the game. But the Warriors were absolutely in their shorts on the three-point line. They defended it brilliantly last night.
It's because they didn't turn it over. And so, as you mentioned earlier, when the Rockets get into the half court, they're not that effective. And so when the Rockets do get into their half court offense, what's their best possible outcome? And it is Şengün against whoever. And you back him down, you back him down, you get that little half hook. And if not that, then maybe it's Amen Thompson attacking. But if Fred VanVleet can't get open for an easy, open three-point shot, you don't have a good three-point shooting team. You're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the association. And so if the Warriors don't turn it over and they make you a half-court offense, you're not going to be that effective, especially from three.
Yeah, I look at it, and yes, Moody was off. Pods was too. Pods still had 9 points. He did some things out there, right? He was able to get a couple of assists. He had some rebounds. He had a couple of floaters that were able to go in, but he was off. He was off last night. Moody was tremendously off. In fact, I saw one of the texts just came through. I think it was 510 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line with an observation that I didn't even realize. Said, I think Kevon Looney had 100% of the Warriors' bench points last night.
He did.
And that's a true fact.
Yep.
Yeah, 3 points off the bench, 100 points from the starters last night, and all but Pods well into double digits, and Pods had 9. But that means 12 points from Pods and Looney, 91 points from Steph, Jimmy, Buddy, and Draymond. Wow.
Right.
That's a Game 7 performance.
It is, and they played about 91% of the minutes. So, I mean, it's not that alarming. But if you want to look at Buddy, and the caller said, you know, he should have had 43. If you look at the game and you see how Houston defended in the first half, they played a lot of zone, and Buddy was open. And in the second half, they played a lot more man-to-man. And when you play man-to-man, Buddy's not going to be able to, unless you set screens for him off the ball, he's not going to get free to be able to get open threes. And if you're in the half court, you're going to run those same actions for Steph Curry for him to get open threes. And he did, and that's when Steph kind of came to life.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.